everyone, welcome back to the Be More podcast, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role, function within the Salesforce community and beyond. For today's episode, we are talking about a bit of a niche kind of skill set within the admin arena, and we are trying to convince you to be more admin skill set. We are focusing in today's sessions in particular on formulas and reports. I'm joined today by Steve, and I don't think there's really anybody better in the ecosystem to talk about these things. Most of you will probably owe him a beer as well. He might have helped you out on the Trailblazer community, one of the superstars there. So, Steve, are you able to introduce yourself for our audience, please?
Hi, everybody, and thanks, Ted, for having me. My name is Steve Mollis, or if you are in the Trailblazer community, you may know me as Steve Mo. Self-taught Salesforce admin, kind of like wander around in IT, bouncing from role to role. And then one day in 2003, my boss pointed at me and said, "Sales is getting this thing called Salesforce. You can take it." And so I didn't know that was the day I hit the Korea lottery.
Yeah. Okay. And you've been immersed in the Salesforce ecosystem ever since, right? I think you're definitely a pivotal part of it.
Yeah. I really did like blunder into it. I mean, it was just this little niche thing. I mean, 25 users, less than 10% of the entire company was on Salesforce. First few months, it was just password resets, importing their data from Excel or whatever. Mm-hmm. Into Salesforce. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, we need a custom field. Oh, we don't like how the page layout is. Can you move this field from left to right, or this one from top to bottom, or get rid of that field altogether? And then over time, luckily, I think Salesforce was somewhat limited back then, especially compared to what it is today. So I wasn't being asked to do much more than the system could do. And it allowed me to ease into it. So it wasn't until several months or more into my Salesforce admin life that I began to take on more, those requests started to get a little bit more complex, reports got a little bit more complex. And also over time, I mean, Salesforce, I think, was on one release back then, 2003. Wow. I don't know when they went to the three releases per year schedule. But, workflow, I don't even know if workflow rules were even a thing back then. when I first had to use one, I already had a comfort level with the rest of it. So, very, very fortunate that I didn't I can't imagine being a new admin and having all this thrown at you, flow builder, formulas. When I was doing it, they were like, I don't know, formula fields were even a thing. I think it's validation rules. But now it's formulas are everywhere. Flow Builder has formulas. Reports have formulas now. Reports have had formulas for quite some, it's not even a new thing to have formulas and reports, but I remember when formulas and reports were a new thing. I'm lucky to have gotten in at a time when it wasn't that overwhelming. So all you new admins who are thrown into this and feel like you're being hit by a tidal wave, don't freak out. It is a tidal wave, but don't steel yourself. step back from the shore. Don't try to take it in all at once.
Totally. I think that's really solid advice. So maybe as you were talking about that and using your words there, I think it almost a little bit like a child in a candy shop, right? That kind of level of being overwhelmed.
There's so many choices, there's so much to learn, and so many of them are fascinating and interesting. You see people in the Trailblazer community asking about what you know, I'm new. What path should I go on? Which, you know, it's like, I think a very valuable tool is David Liu, amazing Salesforce admin developer from, I think he's still with Google. Great website, Salesforce 99 or SFDC 99, I think it is. He's got a Salesforce personality quiz. And he asks not a long laundry list of questions, very, you know, simple quiz. And it gives you a, like, you seem to be suited to be an analyst. You seem to be suited to be a developer. You seem to be suited to be, like, you know, and it's kind of like getting to know you and what's a good path to go on. And it doesn't mean you're like, you're, you know, I mean, a lot of people go like admin and then go to developer, admin, developer, architect, or admin analyst, admin, you know, it's not a one way journey, and all those other paths are immediately closed to you or forever closed to you.
How did you kind of get on the track that you are now, like being kind of known for reports and formulas? Is that something that just kind of came up super often?
Or kind of like two things kind of like happening in parallel but also weaving together. I mean, I've always had that fascination with data. Reports and dashboards tell the story of your data. What story do you want to know? Do you want to see like how successful your campaigns are, how, you know, what the response rates are, how much revenue that is leading, those campaigns are leading to? Or do you want to find out, I just did one the other day about, like, you know, like opportunity history report, one of my favorite old timey Salesforce reports. You need this one. You can really get a lot out of that report type, opportunity history. Salesforce, little known fact, you know, for your new admins, but Salesforce automatically from day zero in your org captures any change to the dollar amount, close date, probability, forecast category of the opportunity automatically. And a catalog. And an opportunity history report has all that data from the very first day your org went live. Any change to any of those fields gets cataloged and you can report on it. And you can also, it has built into it things like the stage duration, how long, so you can like run a report on like, have we got like an inefficiency in our sales process? Like, are deals spending an inordinate amount of time in this one particular stage? Like, you know, like our typical, you know, from create to closed one is, you know, whatever it is, 90 days, 100 days. But we got this one stage where it's like it's sitting in there for an average of 45 days out of all the other stages. Let's take a look at that. I mean, you can identify things like that, or, you know, I'm just going to throw it.
Yeah.
Address the elephant in the room. Bad users. You know, you can see like, this person seems to just create an opportunity and immediately move it to closed one or closed lost without hitting any of the interim stages.
Yeah.
My guess is that they're not accurately keeping their Salesforce data up to date. Might want to have a talk with this person. All that information is there for you to, you know, dive into, get like, you know, put your, I don't know if the CSI TV franchise is as big a deal over there, but like put your CSI sunglasses on, like David Caruso, crack a bad pun and like, you know, get into the minutiae of it. That part is always, I've always been kind of fascinated by data and the story it tells. So that's part of it. And I've always been like a tinkerer too. And I think that's where formulas come in, is, you know, being just like with this little tiny piece of, it's not like hardcore developers probably would be dismissive of formulas as not even code, but you could do so much with it. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that might be a product of like, you know, if I'm known for writing formulas, that might be because I was so intimidated back in my pre Salesforce life as a Lotus Domino developer. That's the role I was in when Salesforce was first, my company first got it, and it was given to me as this little niche project. Lotus had a formula language, but it also had a more advanced language, kind of like the Lotus version of Apex called Lotus Script. It was really intimidating. I wrote a couple that kind of worked, but because of that, I would squeeze every last drop out of formulas before I would even touch Lotus Script. I was like, let me see if I can make this happen with a formula. I think that may have been like, you know, I got good at formulas because I was lazy at Lotus Script. And like, yeah. I'm the same way with Visual Force and Apex. I mean, I'll say it flat out when somebody posts a question in the answers community, it can't be answered with a formula. It's like, the only thing I know about Apex and Visual Force is that I don't know anything about Apex and Visual Force.
Yeah.
You know, and I still don't. So yeah, that's, you know, kind of the two kind of play together, I think, you know, my love of tinkering with things and also my love of data.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of feeling of success or maybe sometimes relief, right? When you're writing a formula and you validate the syntax and it's fine and there are no errors, right? I'm assuming that's a good feeling.
Yeah. And you know, but you're not home free just yet, though. I've been burned in the past by thinking that because my formula passed syntax that I was home free. Little did I know that I had a flaw in my logic. Usually, it's or clauses. Always going to be careful. Oh, okay. If your formula has an or in it, you're opening the door to a potential loop or loophole or both. So you got to be really like, look at those results. I always say, like, no matter how simple or complex your formula is, create a report or a list view and go through it and look at those results. I actually did a presentation on this at Cactus Force. Little kind of trick that I came up with myself to verify that my logic was sound in a validation rule that had a pretty complex validation rule that had a bunch of ands and ors. And so I just wasn't feeling confident in my writing. I was really worried that I was going to let in a loop or a loophole. So I put my formula not in the validation rule, but I put it in a formula checkbox field that only I could see. And then I ran a report, and so when you're writing a validation rule, you're writing, it's almost like a medical test. If the patient comes back with a positive result, that means they have the condition that you're testing for. If it comes back false, they don't. So a checkbox means the record would flunk the validation rule. An unchecked checkbox means it will pass the validation rule. So I put this formula checkbox field in. Then I ran a report, and the report showed all the fields the validation rule would be evaluating and my formula checkbox, and I could see which records would pass or fail the validation rule, and everything came back clean. So it was like that validation you're talking about. Like, okay, it's not just syntactically correct. My logic is sound, too. And it's this little thing that I just kind of like, for my own personal, peace of mind, I did it. Now I use it all the time. I have that custom field there on every single object that just for me. But it even has, like, I've repurposed it, like, because, like, not only can it show you that your validation rule formula is sound, but also it can give you a heads up of how many bad records do you have? Like, how many records is this validation rule going to trigger when you go live on Monday morning? Is your phone going to be ringing off the hook and your inbox filling up because suddenly people are, you know, half their opportunity pipeline is non-compliant because of this new rule that sales operations has mandated? And you can give give the stakeholders who want this thing a heads up, like, hey, just so you know, this is the reality. Be prepared. You know, people are going to be asking you questions.
Yeah, I think that's such solid advice there. And I never really thought to do something like that before. So I think it's great inspiration if you're struggling with a validation rule, or perhaps the validation rule has some of that kind of or not logic in it.
Yeah, magic work. Like that's one of the ones that I've used as an example. What I'm teaching is, you have to be very careful with the usage of an or with a not. You see it a lot when people need to exclude one or more profiles or roles from a validation rule. Seems to come up more with validation rules than anything else. And they'll use, like, you know, the common one is profile not equal system admin. Great.
Yeah.
But then they find out, well, finance, they don't, you know all these details about the opportunity. That's the opportunity owner's responsibility. But finance needs to make an edit to the opportunity, and they need to be exempt from the rule. Fine. And what a lot of people will do, they'll take that exemption, profile not equals system admin, and they'll wrap an or around it, profile not equals finance, profile not equals sales operations, profile not equals this. The problem is that a user can only have one profile. And when you're saying not this or not that, well, if you're exempt because you're the sysadmin, but my profile is finance, and the exemption says not sysadmin or not finance, we both fail because you're sysadmin, but you're not finance. I fail because I'm finance, but I can't also be sysadmin. We both, everybody's locked out. So one of those little things to be careful of when you're exempting formula, well, any field that can only hold one value at a time.
Definitely. I think that's a good tip there as well, because I've had that too, where I was expecting myself to be excluded. I think I might have used custom permission instead, but the same kind of thing with the ors and the nots. And sometimes it's a little bit difficult, like to the naked eye, like actually understanding what the special characters mean, because you can or in different ways.
And it's not like you talk about writing style, and that's I see people ask, like, what's the best way? The best way is the way that you personally prefer to write, what makes sense to you, because you're the one who's going to be reading it. And, you know, I have no problem with the double ampersand, double pipe for and or. I just kind of grew up using the words and or, so that's what feels comfortable to me. So that's how I like to write. What I would caution against, though, is mixing and matching the two together. You can do it. You're not going to – that alone will not break a formula. Salesforce will let you do it. But to read it, it's just a train wreck.
Yeah.
And there are differences. Once you – like when you use like the and or double ampersand, double pipe, the placement or usage of parens and commas now is different. And again, you can mix them together, but it adds a level of difficulty.
I kind of said before, punctuation saves lives in terms of you've got the great example of I'm ready to eat grandma, or I'm ready to eat grandma. You know, if you put a comma in the wrong place, thinking about this, like as somebody who's perhaps a little bit daunted or scared by formulas and reports. In the kind of age of AI, obviously, Salesforce have announced the ability for Einstein to assist with formulas. Do you think that's going to change how people learn these skills? What if there was somebody like today that wanted to start out learning validation rules or formulas? What advice would you give to them?
You got to keep that mindset that, like, you know, the purpose of a validation rule, you're defining the criteria for what you want to prevent from happening, whether it's a field being blank or a number in a field being outside of an allowed range, like, you know, something like that. So you gotta have a mind for, like, what's the goal of this rule? And again, whether it's a validation rule or a formula field or a formula or a report formula, what's the result that I'm trying to get out of this? And I think, like, one of the, you know, I was talking about Trailhead to somebody the other day, and it's just like, I think one of the singular most important Trailhead or best modules for someone who's just getting started in the Salesforce ecosystem is the data modeling one, because knowing, you know, especially when you get into, like, cross object formulas, knowing where those pieces of data are that you're pulling in and how they all interact with each other. I mean, it's a vital skill set to have, is knowing the data.
Kind of thinking about this in terms of your own experiences again, and perhaps, again, focusing on your journey really with formulas, reports. If you were to start again, is there anything you would do differently or change?
Would have been more proactive and better at documenting. Would have become better earlier at finding out how the users are using it in their day-to-day. This guy showed me some worksheets that he put together every week. And he was just, like, wrestling with them and trying to figure out if there was a better way to build them. And he was building them by running a report in Salesforce, exporting it to Excel, and then doing all this manipulation in Excel to get it to look the way he wanted. And we had a couple of, like, you know, before working remote even was a thing, though. But we'd get together on a phone call and you know, once or twice a week to try and, like, shape this report. And I'd take a crack at it, you know, show him something, take a crack at something else, show him. And I, you know, I found this opportunity historical trending report, and I put it together, and I couldn't get it to, like, what he was ultimately ideally trying to get. So I showed it to him, and I was kind of like, you know, like, this is as close as I can get. And I was disappointed in myself. And he was just like, you just gave me back a day of my week.
Yeah.
Every week. Like, he was literally spending, like, almost an entire day manipulating the report that he was currently exporting from Salesforce into Excel and crap, you know, doing whatever to this thing to make it look, like, suitable to, you know, send to his team. And what I gave him using a opportunity historical trending report, you know, that was one that was, you know, those are the little wins that you kind of, like, you know, always nice to have. Or yeah, like, probably one of the first custom objects I ever built was for one of my she's still one of my power users, and her and her team do RFPs. And this was, like, in the, you know, still pretty early on in my Salesforce org's life. And so she was already one of my Salesforce power users and an adopter, a fan of the platform. And we got to talking about this thing that her and her team did with RFPs. And it was like, they, you know, it's not quite an opportunity. It could ultimately lead to an opportunity, but it's not an opportunity. So creating them as opportunities don't work. So she was talking about, like, they were doing all this stuff outside of Salesforce in Excel, but they were also, her and her team were also Salesforce users. But they had to, like, do some work in Salesforce, this other stuff, they're tracking in Excel spreadsheets. And I was like, send me one of those spreadsheets. And she sent it to me, and I was just like, I think I can build a custom object in Salesforce. And so you'll be able to, you and your team will be able to do all of this in Salesforce and connect these RFP records to opportunities, should the RFP ever lead to an opportunity. And then you can actually measure, like, how many RFPs led to how many opportunities, how many of those opportunities did we win, and how much were they worth? And it was just, like, a couple of, like, You know, she worked at our New York office. And so it was just like a couple of weeks of like, you know, lunchtime phone calls and screen sharing and looking through the Excel spreadsheet. All right, is this column, do you want that to be a pick list field or is that free form text? Okay, pick list. Okay, what options do you want that? And where do you want this to go in the page layout? And it's,
yeah, so I left off talking about the RFX custom object that I created, and it's like, it's probably one of my original custom objects and it's still in use today. Like, I think I created it like 2004, 2005, I think. I don't even know. And it grew from just like a conversation with someone about how they do their job and what they are trying to do in, you know, finding a way to do it inside of Salesforce. And it grew from an Excel spreadsheet. And that was, you know, before the, you know, now, and, you know, talk about like the evolution of Salesforce. I mean, again, another like little known thing, like it, that you can create, define a custom object just by importing an Excel spreadsheet now.
Yep. Something that's kind of really resonated with me here is the power of kind of having this skill set, and also the power of listening to your users. Like that's come across really in the last kind of two stories that you've shared about understanding the problem from their perspective or a challenge that they're facing that you didn't even know they were having. So it's kind of digesting that, understanding it, and ultimately trying to make their lives better. And I think in both of those situations, I mean, you may have been frustrated that the reporting snapshot solution wasn't quite as complete maybe as the current process was or whatever it was, but you still made that user's life easier. You still made a difference. Yeah. And you still got that warm, fuzzy feeling inside when you're like, actually, like, I really helped someone there. I really improved what they're doing. Yeah. So
I mean, and I think that kind of shapes, like, you know, my participation in the Ansys community too, is like, you get, you know, it doesn't cost me anything. A fair number of the questions that come up are things that I've run into in my own life. And it's like, if I can share someone, you know, save someone the headache that I went through, you know, 10, 15 years ago, by like getting the, like guiding them on, you know, on this path, or sharing some little thing, you know, a lot of it is stuff I built, you know, I wrote years ago. Like, how can I not share that? I mean, I use the analogy, it still holds true. Like, it's like I'm wearing a wristwatch and somebody just wants to know what time it is. How can you not like, take a second, they just look at your watch and give them the time of day. How can you just like not give someone, literally not give someone the time of day and walk away? When you do something that's seemingly minor or inconsequential, but sometimes like people are just like so genuinely appreciative of like the help, that never gets old. That never gets tired or trite. It goes both ways. I think, you know, we get a reward, you know, we get the warm and fuzzy. I mean, like, in my pre Salesforce life, I've been with the same company for 29 years now. And in a previous, you know, role, I was actually client facing, and the division of the company I worked for, all the clients were nonprofits. And, you know, I used to, you know, joke with my buddies, like, yeah, I get all the warm fuzzy of working for a great cause, but I also get a paycheck you can live off of, but then it's like, but it cuts both ways, because, you know, I'd be like, you know, I always had this, you know, if I left work, you know, I'd always have this image of a doctor standing at a kid's bedside in a hospital, like, this close to a cure, but Steve had Red Sox tickets and he had to leave.
Yeah, no, I, I totally get that. Well, unfortunately, we're having to bring today's session to a close. But before we do go, is there a way for people to reach out to you?
I'm always in the Trailblazer community. Definitely reach out to me there. I'm active in the questions forum. You know, feel free to, just reach out there with a, a question or anything. I've got my own chatter group in there. Who owes me a beer? You don't owe me a beer. You should ask me a question. It's just a joke.
Cool. Perfect. Well, thanks again for your time today. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, thanks. Great for having me.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can inspire some people to embrace these skills and kind of be more admin skill set. So thanks again. Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments